From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the fifth day of November 2018. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Harry Cooney should join us from GrowMark to take a look at the agricultural energies, and we'll discuss the weather forecast with Don Dame. He's at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Along the way, I'll remind you to pick up your tickets to the Farm Assets Conference that's coming up the 20th day of November, the Tuesday prior to Thanksgiving, so not very far away. You can do that online right now at willag.org or farmassetsconference.com, or by dialing this number, 800-898-1065. The conference tickets are just $40. They include your noon meal along with the parking deck and the whole day's event. In fact, if you come early enough, starting at 8 a.m. rather than when we open our doors for the Farm Assets Conference, the Illinois Corn Growers Association's annual membership meeting is prior to our meeting. It starts at 8 o'clock and they have breakfast for you. That one's free and you can just show up at 8 a.m. and then check in after you're done there and visit the Farm Assets Conference. We'll wrap up things by 4 o'clock, so be sure to visit with us there. The Farm Assets Conference is online at willag.org, W-I-L-L-A-G.org.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let me take a moment now to thank you for listening to our ag programming. Thank you. I mean it. Really, thank you for listening to the programming. And just as a reminder, here's what you hear each and every business day. We start at 8:55 a.m. with the opening market report, including Aaron Curtis, Pete Manhart, Bill Gentry, Ellen Dearden, and Bill Mayer. And then an update at 10:58 a.m. with five other voices, Joe Vaklovic, Greg Ginder, Merrill Crowley, Chip Nellinger, and Steve Georgie, followed up at 12:58 each and every business day with Sue Martin, and then, of course, the closing market report, including our analysts Kurt Kimmel, Wayne Nelson, Jackie Vakes, Dan Zwicker, and Mike Zuzalo. And we wrap up each week by recording Commodity Week on Thursday evening. You can hear it at willag.org that night, or on Friday afternoon at 2:36. Oh, and don't forget that we also have a whole series of regularly scheduled analysts during the closing market report for weather. Those include meteorologist on Monday, Mark Russo, Tuesday, Don Day, Wednesday, Drew Lerner, Thursday, Mike Tenora, and on Friday afternoon, both Jim Angel and Eric Snodgrass. WillAg.org. We think it's one of the most comprehensive places that you can find information about markets and weather and agricultural news. Oh, and thank you. Thank you so much for listening.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, supporting the next generation of farmers with the Fresh Roots Young and Beginning Farmer Program, offering lending assistance and learning incentives to equip today's newest farmers for a healthy start in their farming careers.
We're now joined by Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, to take a look at the marketplace. Good afternoon to you, Wayne. Thanks for being with us for the day. Tell me a little bit about what's been happening in Chicago and give me a set of prices, because, of course, I'm traveling to the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention at this hour, and we're recording just a little bit early in the day.
Well, it's about 12:30 in Indiana, or 11:30 in Chicago. The corn's had a very narrow trading range. We're up a quarter to down a quarter at this point in time, but we've had basically 3 cent trading ranges so far in the corn. The beans are trading about a half cent lower as we speak. The January beans are traded from 878 to 889. So we have had a little bit that way. We have been so we're about 7 cents off our low right now. So the crude oil is trading down $1.39, and the gold down $4.30, and the wheat down it's up about 4 cents today.
Sounds like as if it's quiet and the trade may be waiting for election results and the World Agricultural Supply Demand Estimate crop production reports that are due out today and then again on Thursday.
I think that you hit the right nail on the head there, Todd. We're waiting to see if we can keep the Congress Republican and give Trump a strong hand in going into negotiations with China, or if they'll have a little bit more of a leverage with this with the Democratic Congress. That, along with the talk of there's a meeting going to be in Washington with some of the Chinese officials on Friday, but looking at, of course, the G20. And a lot of people saying probably nothing will be signed at the G20, but they can agree that we're going to talk some more and sort of sign a peace treaty in the meantime.
I suppose it's a good sign that there are some folks that will be in Washington, D.C. to begin some discussions. That hasn't happened for a while now.
No, and we have to remember that this is the meeting that was scheduled to be held about 20 days ago in Japan, or not Japan, in China. So it is good that we're getting back on track that way and going along. You know, our harvest progress last night was pretty good. We're 83% harvested in the beans compared to an 89% five-year average, and 76% in the corn compared to a 77% five-year average.
That should lift some of the pressure off of the marketplace as we move forward.
We've also seen a little bit of tightening of the basis on the interior, and unfortunately we're seeing a little vomitoxin show up in the northern corn belt, sort of north-central Iowa and southern Minnesota, where it was very wet there this spring.
What are your expectations through to the rest of today and then into tomorrow and on Thursday?
Well, I think we could see this market stay very close to unchanged today. I think then we'll take a look tomorrow what the election outcome was and see if we feel that it might be a little bit damaging to the China negotiations and act that way. But basically, we're looking for a little bit better numbers on Thursday from the government, seeing that there might be a slight reduction in corn and bean estimates.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Don't forget to buy your tickets for the Farm Assets Conference. That's coming up the 20th day of November. That's not very far away. It's the Tuesday prior to Thanksgiving, and we'll be in Normal, Illinois at the Marriott Hotel and Conference Center. This is a great event, and the $40 fee buys your ticket for the conference, the lunch for the conference, and you're parking in the deck all day long. It's a great deal and a really good conference. I think we put together a stellar event for you. We'll talk about how things are going to change with commodity marketing over the next decade or so. You've probably heard the news stories or maybe seen them. The blockchain is coming in. We won't talk about that exactly, but this is a way to kind of track some of the characteristics potentially of your crops and other items all the way through the system. That's one thing. The CME Group, ADM, Cargill, those folks are all working on that part of it. But we're going to talk about how some big companies, big corporations are going to reach all the way back to the farmer, tap them on the shoulder and say, hey, these are the characteristics we'd like you to provide us. We'll see whether that's possible to do. We'll talk about some of the contracts that are already available, maybe non-GMO, organic, some other contracts. We'll do that with Anheuser-Busch, McDonald's, Clarkson Grain, and another option to track all of that that's already available to you through Syngenta. And you don't have to use Syngenta products to do this. It's just a piece of Syngenta software. So we'll kick it off with that. We'll follow up in the afternoon session by talking about the price of corn and soybeans, the price of farmland. We'll look at farm management, and we'll discuss what's happening in the world of farm policy, be it the farm bill or trade. We'll also take up Research Park here on this campus and some of the very cool things that are happening there as it relates to big data and some of the services that you might see coming to you. Now, there are three we've discussed on air just as examples, and you hear about more often than not: Granular, Agrible, and Air Scout. So those are just three, but we'll hear more about what's been happening at Research Park. It's a great event. Kicks off really at 8 a.m. with the Illinois Corn Growers Annual Meeting. That one's free. You can come there, and they serve breakfast, so at 8 o'clock in the morning. And then you'll have a ticket to come to the Farm Assets Conference. You'll come out of one room and come into the other. They're side by side, so really the two conferences work together. And so from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., you can be busy during the day. You can come for just their conference if you want. I'd prefer you come for our conference. It starts at 9:30. At least the doors are opening up then. And you'll get a chance to talk with all the folks that are in the booth space to hold down that price at $40. So please do visit us at farmassetsconference.com, willag.org, or at 800-898-1065 to get your tickets. Don't wait. Do it right now, today. Well, in today's agricultural news, you probably already know that President Trump's National Economic Council Director Larry Kudlow contradicted a report by Bloomberg News that Mr. Trump had asked officials to draw up terms of a China trade deal after a lengthy phone call with China's President Xi Jinping. But Kudlow added in a CNBC interview, the end-of-the-month sit-down at the G20 summit in Argentina is a definite and will include trade. Here's how American Farm Bureau trade advisor Dave Samuelson sees that event.
It's a good indication that they say they're going to have it. They might say it's on the schedule. It's on the program for the meetings down there in Argentina. We can't know, of course, until it happens.
But Samuelson says it would be more encouraging to see preliminary lower-level meetings to hammer out some of the issues ahead of time.
I had no idea the extent any of that is happening yet. I haven't really seen anything publicly about that or any announcements. So that's what I think I'll be watching closely for in the run-up to this, what kind of preliminary work is being done.
For his part, Economic Director Larry Kudlow of the Trump administration told CNBC he'd not seen any new offer from China, and Trump could pull the trigger on additional tariffs on Chinese imports depending on how the talks go. AFB Simonson says the pressure is on the Chinese and U.S. officials from agriculture here to resolve the damaging tariff dispute that severely hurt U.S. soybeans, pork, and other sales in China, and to return to normal trade. By the way, China dropped imports of U.S. soybeans by some 80% in September and increased Brazilian imports by 28%. Reuters reports this is the first time that China has provided data on the country of origin for its commodity imports since the month of March. China, which typically buys many of its soybeans during the fourth quarter from the United States, is sourcing soybeans from Brazil as a direct result of the trade war with the U.S. From grains and trade, let's switch to meats and trade. U.S. beef exports remained very strong in September, while pork exports continued to be impacted by retaliatory duties in China and Mexico, according to data released by the USDA and compiled by the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Beef exports cooled from the record results posted in August, but were still significantly higher year over year. U.S. MEF President and CEO Dan Hallstrom says pork exports have held up relatively well, too, but unfortunately, the obstacles U.S. pork faces in China and Mexico are putting a lot of pressure on the export value. And finally today, the Department of Agriculture's Inspector General will investigate the proposed movement of two USDA agencies outside of Washington, D.C. Politico reports the investigation will look into whether USDA followed proper procedures when deciding to move the agencies. Earlier this year, Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue announced a plan that would move the ERS, or Economic Research Service, and NIFA, the National Institute for Food and Agriculture, outside of D.C. The investigation also seeks to see if USDA has the authority to make the moves. The investigation could trigger further efforts by Congress to block or restrict the USDA decision. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows 76% of the corn crop has been harvested as of Sunday. The normal five-year average is 77%. 83% of the soybeans are in the bin. The five-year average is 89%. And the condition of the winter wheat crop is said to be 42% good, 9% excellent. That's changed and lower than last week when it was 45% and 8%. 70% of the crop has emerged compared to the rolling five-year average of 77%. And by this time, normally 90% of the wheat crop has been planted. This year, 84% of the crop is in the ground. Now here are updates from the state statisticians across the Midwest.
This is Ben Torrance, agricultural statistician for the USDA NAS Upper Midwest Region Field Office. Iowa farmers had another good week of harvesting, with 5.3 days suitable for field work last week. Activities for the week included harvesting corn and soybeans, baling stalks, anhydrous and manure application, fall tillage, tile repair, and planting cover crops. 72% of the state's corn for grain crop has been harvested, 3 days ahead of last year, but 1 day behind the five-year average. Farmers in central Iowa have harvested 80% of their corn for grain crop, while farmers in southwest have 45% of their corn for grain remaining to be harvested. Moisture content of field corn being harvested averaged 17%. Soybean harvest was 88% complete, 2 days behind last year, and 6 days behind the average. Recent rains have left some feedlot cattle stressed with standing water and muddy conditions, while others reported livestock conditions as very good. For the USDA NAS Upper Midwest Region Field Office, this is Ben Torrance.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Last week was colder than average and wetter than normal in Illinois. Temperatures range from slightly below normal in northern areas to 3 degrees below normal in southern parts of the state. Rainfall totals range from 0.8 inches to nearly 3 inches. Overall, precipitation averaged 1.53 inches, more than 0.6 inches above normal for the week. Soil temperatures range from the mid-40s in northern Illinois to the lower 50s in southern Illinois. There were only 3.1 days suitable for field work last week. Corn harvest advanced 4 points and is now 93% finished, compared to 82% 1 year ago and 87% for the five-year average. The Illinois soybean crop is now 92% harvested, compared to 91% last year and 92% normally. Wheat planting moved forward by 11 points and reached 85% finished, compared to 88% normally. 66% of wheat acres have emerged, compared to 67% normally. The condition of the winter wheat crop in Illinois was rated 9% very poor to poor, 27% fair, and 64% good to excellent, a little worse than 1 week ago. The Illinois sorghum crop is now 89% harvested, compared to 83% for the five-year average. Pasture conditions were rated 15% very poor to poor, 31% fair, and 54% good to excellent. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with weekly crop progress and condition report. Wet fields continue to impact harvest progress. There were 4.6 days suitable for field work, and field activities included harvesting corn, soybeans, potatoes, sunflowers, and sugar beets. Reports of fertilizer application and fall tillage were also received. Topsoil moisture supplies rated 0% very short, 2% short, 68% adequate, and 30% surplus. Subsoil moisture supplies rated 1% very short, 6% short, 67% adequate, and 26% surplus. Corn harvested for grain was 78% complete, that's 8 days ahead of last year. Corn moisture content of grain at harvest averaged 18%, that's down 1 percentage point from last week. 94% of the soybean crop was harvested, that's 1 week behind last year and 9 days behind average. Sunflower harvest was 73% complete, that's 6 days behind average. Potato harvest was nearing completion at 97% complete, and the sugar beet harvest was 99% complete. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Stephen Dothage with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report. Heavy rains throughout the state hindered harvest progress. Cool temperatures and rainy weather saturated fields, making field work difficult, and high winds resulted in reports of downed corn in some fields. The average temperature for the week was 48.1 degrees, 2.1 degrees below normal for the state. The statewide average precipitation was 2.66 inches. There were 2.7 days available for field work for the week ending November 4th. Corn and soybean harvest inched closer to completion, but above average rainfall kept farmers out of the fields for much of the week. Winter wheat progress moved along steadily, with winter wheat planted and emerged in line with the five-year average. The winter wheat crop was rated in mostly good condition. Other activities for the week included drying corn, hauling grain, applying fertilizer, spraying for fall burndown, fall tillage, planting cover crops, and winterizing machinery. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending November 4th, 2018. This is Stephen Dothage reporting.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Corn Belt. We're now joined by Harry Cooney. He is with GrowMark out of Bloomington, Illinois, to take a look at the agricultural energies. Harry, thanks for being with us. Tell me what you're watching this week.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. Well, we're watching the sell-off in the energy complex. The sell-off has continued here. And in fact, when you look at the diesel fuel prices peaking out there all late September, early October, for the month of October into November here, they've been on a continued steady sell-off, and so we've been watching those real closely. I mean, there's a number of reasons for it, some seasonality, some of the harvest winding up in some areas, even though overall it still looks like the U.S. has about 25% of the corn harvest to go here in the Midwest. But overall, the election is today, and so we'll see if we get much of an outcome from that. And but then starting to talk about cold weather coming in. So some of the heating markets like natural gas and that have started to perk up here this week. So watching a number of items.
Well, tell me a little bit about propane, I think, maybe at this point, and diesel fuel both.
Sure. Propane stocks have come back and recovered nicely from their lows of late last winter and earlier this summer. At that time, they were kind of on the bottom of the barrel, and so propane stocks have come back real well. As we go into the heating season here now, had a little bit more activity for grain drying in some areas, and of course, there's still some grain drying going on, in fact, quite a bit in the western and northern areas. And with the cold weather now, it's taking quite a bit of juice to get those, keep those dryers warm. However, over on the diesel front, diesel demand has been holding strong. In fact, diesel fuel, if you look out to the next June contracts, is about 20 cents higher than gasoline for the same month. So you can tell there's some demand out there for diesel fuel compared to gasoline. So we'll be looking for opportunities for contracting here over the next 3 to 4 months for end users' needs out into 2019.
Hey, thanks so much, Harry. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Harry Cooney. He is with GrowMark. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Do pick up your tickets for the Farm Assets Conference coming up the 20th day of November. It's in Normal, Illinois. The cost is just $40. We open our doors at 9:30 a.m., but you probably ought to come earlier at 8 o'clock in the morning for the Illinois Corn Growers Association's annual meeting. This one's free. And they'll serve you breakfast, and then you'll turn your ticket in at 9:30 and come in to the $40 event that we've put together for you all day long called the Farm Assets Conference. For that $40, you get to park for free in the deck next to the Marriott Hotel in Normal, Illinois, and you get your lunch. And we'll do, well, the whole thing all day long to about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. The Farm Assets Conference is a great way to kick off the winter meeting season. Don't delay. Buy the tickets right now online at farmassetsconference.com, willag.org, or by dialing this number, 800-898-1065. That's 800-898-1065. We're now joined by Don Day. He's a day weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don. Tell me about the weather forecast for the Midwest.
Well, it's about ready to turn a lot colder here in the coming days ahead. As we go into the middle to the end of this week and end of the weekend, we're going to see quite a push of cold air, not just November cold, but you know, temperatures that are going to be a good as much as 10 to 15 degrees below average as we get into the weekend and early next week. And along this cold air boundary that's sliding out of south central and western areas of Canada, there is going to be some precipitation. Now, we feel that the heavier moisture here in the short term is going to be where it's been lately, and that's going to be in the southern areas and the far eastern areas of the Corn Belt, southern Indiana, southern and eastern Ohio. There will be showers of rain and snow in the northern and western Corn Belt areas, but nothing at least here through the weekend that looks heavy.
And then when you get a little further out from that, do we change the pattern or do we stay cold?
Well, it is going to stay cold probably through at least the middle of next week. Late next week, we'll see the coldest of the air move into the central and eastern areas of the Great Lakes. And along the east coast, we're going to see the first big outbreak of lake effect snow hitting the Great Lakes region this weekend and early next week as that cold air moves in. So it's not cold that's going to stay. There's going to be a little bit of a warm-up after that. But this is going to be a pretty good first shot of a winter pattern for a lot of the nation's midsection and east over the next week to 10 days.
Yeah, but it's not that time of the year yet. At least it doesn't think so. I guess it's coming a bit earlier this year than it has in the past few years.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. And the way things are looking for the month of November into early December is that it is going to favor more opportunities for this cold air coming, and the warm-ups are likely not going to be long-lived.
Hey, Don, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.